Well, I am not Pastor Toledo. My name is Christian. I have the honor and privilege of serving here on staff, and I have the honor and privilege today of sharing a word with you guys that has been very near and dear to my heart, a passage of scripture that has truly transformed and changed my life. And it comes out of Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm just going to dive right in because I got a lot of scripture and not a lot of time to read it. Are you guys okay with reading a lot of scripture today? Yes. Amen, amen. Good, because we're going to read it anyway. This is what it says in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." This is a verse that's very simple in nature, but sometimes difficult in practice. It's honestly a verse that I don't have to preach at all. I could just read that and we all could go home and enjoy the rest of our Sunday. But since I got about 30 minutes, I will preach it. You see, this verse was written by a man named Solomon, who the Bible coins as the wisest man to ever live. And in this particular verse and in this particular chapter, he's actually speaking to his children. So if the wisest man to ever live would take time to pen these words to his own children, I would assume that he's given us some important stuff. He's saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You see, he is making a depiction between two things. In every decision, in every situation in life, you can choose to lean on your own understanding or do what the Lord is saying. See, right here, he's saying, I actually want you to lean on me in every circumstance, in every situation. I want you to lean on me. For my note takers in the room, do we have note takers in the room? Amen. I see the notebooks up. Y'all ready for class? That's the title of today's talk. Lean on me. Somebody say, lean on me. Can we pray? Jesus, we are grateful. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for what it gives us. We're grateful for how it leads us. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to open up our hearts to your word today. May we receive your word in a powerful way. Lord, I pray that it would not be my word speaking, but it would be your word speaking, and may it truly transform the hearts of everyone in this room. Would you get the glory, Lord, and teach us something new? It's in Jesus' name that I pray and ask all these things. Amen and amen. There's a quote from a pastor from a church in Florida. He's actually written over 70 leadership books and literally knows almost everything about leadership. You guys probably have heard his name. His name is John Maxwell. John Maxwell said this. He said, when it comes to success, the greatest threat to tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. I'm going to say that again for the ones in the back. The greatest threat to tomorrow's success is actually yesterday's success. That's how you could get a company like Blockbuster, who in the span of just 10 years went from having over 9,000 stores across the country down to just one, Blockbuster. What's funny about Blockbuster is there's probably people in this room that are young enough to say they've never seen a Blockbuster. Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've never seen a Blockbuster. We got some people in this. Never seen a, that's crazy. Where are my 90s babies at? We got some 90s babies in the room. Y'all know that was the best way to start the weekend. We were all at Blockbuster. Blockbuster was everywhere, and everybody loved it. You would come in, you would grab your little popcorn, you would grab your favorite movie, you grab your video games, and then you check out, and you go home with a movie that they just trust that you would bring back. It was amazing. I mean, when they said no late fees, I was basically like, well, if you're not going to charge me, I might as well. BC days, y'all. But we used to love Blockbuster. And now it's a sad story because there's people in this room that have never seen a Blockbuster. They never get to experience the joy of going out in 0-degree weather just to watch a movie. 9,000 stores down to one in just 10 years. Why? Because the greatest threat to tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. Some of you guys are like, well, what happened to Blockbuster? I'll tell you what happened to Blockbuster. Dum dum. What's that? Netflix. Now you can't find a Blockbuster anywhere around, but everybody in this room got Netflix. You either got it or you're stealing it from your cousin. Either way, you got Netflix. But what's funny about Blockbuster is Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy Netflix. They actually say the story goes like this. Netflix came into Blockbuster's offices and said, hey, we think that there's a new wave of the future and you guys might want to jump on board. We think that everyone's going to stop wanting to go outside their house in 0-degree weather, out of their pajamas and into your stores just to buy their favorite movie. They're going to want to watch it from home. And Blockbuster being rich laughed in their face. I don't know why, but that's how billionaires laugh in my head. I'm like, like that's just, I don't know why, it's just in my head. But they laughed in their face. They said, the wave of the future, why think about the future? We're doing well right now. And now you don't see a Blockbuster on any block anywhere. Why? Because the greatest threat to tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. Blockbuster isn't the only story about this, though. We see it time and time again in Scripture. People deciding not to trust in the Lord with all their heart, but lean on their own understanding, going back to what they once did. How about the disciples? After Jesus was crucified, what did the disciples do? The Bible says that they went back to fishing. Men who had become fishers of men went back to being fishermen. Why? Because the greatest threat to tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. They like, well, Jesus is gone, so I guess I'll just go back to fishing. What about the Israelites? The Israelites were enslaved. All they knew was slavery. And after plague, after plague, after plague, they get released from Egypt. Manna rains down from heaven. And they can't be grateful for the manna. They're literally looking at this bread that they get every morning and they're saying, what is this? Did you know that if you translate manna into the original translation, that's literally what it means? It means, what is this? How many of us are in a what is this season? Where we stepped out on faith and now we're seeing how God responds and we're like, what is this? God, I started to follow you. Now all my friends don't want to call me. They don't want to talk to me. What is this? And what is the temptation? Going back to where you came from. Why? Because the greatest threat to tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. Can we talk about Moses? How many of y'all want to talk about Moses? Talk about a case study. Moses never made it to the promised land. Moses. Burning bush, God speaks to Moses. Moses. Moses never made it to the promised land. split the Red Sea, Moses. Let my people go, Moses. Moses never makes it to the promised land. One of the parts in scripture that I've always struggled with, I never could understand it until recently, like, really, God? For 40 years, he leads your complaining people through the wilderness, and because he messes up one time, he doesn't make it to the promised land? But you see, Moses is a case study. He's an example of what it looks like to lean on your own understanding when the Lord is asking, would you just lean on me? Can we go to the scriptures? This is what it says in Numbers chapter 20. And this is after 40 years of taking the Israelites through the wilderness. And here they go in a desert. And in the desert, there's not much around. There's not to support you with. They have manna in the morning, but of course, they have issues every day. And what do? What they did best? Start complaining. Here they are in the wilderness, no water. We thirsty, Moses. Give us water to drink. And Moses is like, Lord, what do I do with these people? And here's one of my least favorite passages in scripture. Numbers chapter 20, starting at verse 8. It says, take the staff and assemble the community. You and your brother Aaron are to speak. Somebody say speak.
Speak.
To the rock while they watch. And it will yield its water. You will bring out water for them from the rock and provide drink for the community and their livestock. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. Verse 10. Moses and Aaron summoned the assembly in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock for you? Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock. Somebody say struck. Twice with his staff, so that abundant water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me, somebody say trust me, to demonstrate my holiness in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land I have given them. You see, Moses was presented with a problem. And when you're presented with a problem, the problems typically come with pressure. And when you're under pressure, there's always an opportunity now to pick. Will I lean on the Lord or will I lean on my own understanding? You see, Moses took a moment and leaned on his own understanding. Because you see, this wasn't the first time that the Israelites were thirsty. This wasn't the first time where they complained to Moses, Moses, give us water to drink, Moses. This wasn't the first time. You see, Moses' story is kind of like a movie. Moses the movie. And in order to truly teach the story of Moses and the grave mistake that he made in this moment, I have to do what we do in movies that they call a flashback. Can we flashback? You see, that happened in year 40 on the precipice of stepping into the promised land. But can I take you guys back to year 1? The Israelites are ejected out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They part through a Red Sea. God does a miracle. God drowns their enemies. God starts to rain down manna from heaven, and here are the Israelites in Exodus 17, doing what they do best, doing what we do best, complaining. Except this time, it's a little different. Exodus 17, verse 2, it says this. So the people complained to Moses, give us water to drink. Why are you complaining to me? Moses replied to them. Why are you testing the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water and grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you even bring us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Then Moses cried out to the Lord, what should I do with these people? In a little while, they will stone me. The Lord answered Moses. How many of you guys are grateful that the Lord answers? The Lord answers when we call. He answers Moses. And this is what it says in verse 5. It says, the Lord answered Moses, go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take the staff you struck the Nile with in your hand and go. I am going to stand there at the rock, and when you hit the rock, somebody say hit the rock, water will come out of it, and the people will drink. Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. This time, God tells Moses to strike the rock. That time, God told Moses to speak to the rock. So what does this tell me? This tells me that leaning on God is not a one-time thing. He might tell you to speak to the rock in one season and tell you to hit the rock in another season. He might tell you to stay in one season. He might tell you to go in one season. He might tell you to walk around the walls of Jericho 7 times, and he might tell you just sneak in through the back. But he speaks. Question is, are we really listening? Are we listening, and are we leaning on God? This is why the Bible tells us to pray continually. When you translate that phrase into its original translation, it actually describes someone with a continuous cough. You ever got over a cold and now you're just coughing nonstop? That's how they say we should pray. A continuous state of prayer. Lord, what do I do this morning? My kids are acting up. They still haven't ate their breakfast. We're going to be late to church again. What do I do? Continually leaning on the Lord. You know who I admire? I admire people who pray for parking spots. Come on. May the Lord bless you. Especially on Easter, you're going to need it. Pray continuously. Why? Because it's not a formula that we're after. It's relationship. God doesn't want to be your genie. Oh, God, what should we do? No, he wants a relationship with you. Pray continuously. Seek him. What does the Bible say? Ask, seek, knock. What does the Bible say? Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. What does the Bible say? Knock and the door will be open. God answers when we call. But are we calling for an answer? You know, the Lord does a lot of things in Scripture. But Moses was a case study that's really interesting to me, because this wasn't like a regular, degular person. The Bible actually says that God would speak to Moses face to face, directly. The Bible says that Moses was the most humble in the land. So this passage always used to get to me, because I'm like, if Moses couldn't get what he want, how could I ever get what I want? How could I ever see what the Lord has for me? This is literally the difference between getting the Lord's best and getting nothing. What did Moses get? Well, on earth, it looks like he got nothing. But Moses' story doesn't end there. And we'll talk about Moses in a moment, a little further. But I want you guys to know something. The verse that I read to you guys isn't just a verse that's a command. It's also a promise. You see, I read verse 5, but can I read verse 6? This is what the Bible says. It says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but watch what 6 says. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. See, what we need to know about the Bible is that the Bible is full of promises. There's concrete promises and there's conditional promises. You see, this promise right here is one that I would like to call a conditional promise. One that starts with an if and ends with a then. You see, it says, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, guess what happens? He will make your paths straight. So for the one that's trying to decide, should I hang out with this group of friends or not? He will make your path straight. For the one that's trying to decide, should I leave this job and take on this opportunity? He will make your path straight. But the question is, are we acknowledging him? The question is, are we leaning on him? Because in this moment, we see Moses fail. Moses could have leaned on the Lord, but decided to go back to what worked the last time. Well, the last time I was in this predicament, the Lord told me to strike the rock. I don't know why he's telling me to speak to the rock now. So I'm just going to do what I know that I can do. And he goes back to what he knew. What's ironic about this is I love that the Lord asked him to speak. Because when the Lord first called Moses, he called Moses and Moses had one major concern and insecurity. He said, but God, I can't speak. I have a stuttering issue. So what does the Lord say? The Lord says, okay, get your brother. He'll speak. I still want you to lead. Isn't it ironic that the Lord asked him to do what he's weak at? There's so many times in our life where the Lord might ask you to do what you're weak at. Why? Because when we are weak, we are really strong in him. How many of you believe that when we're weak, we are really strong in him? So this is what he says. He says, Moses, you got to speak, man. Speak to the rock. And Moses fails. Yes, water did gush out and the people were happy. Yay, thank you, Moses. But was the Lord pleased? You see, I used to think about this like, God, that's really harsh. Like, you really got this man like, he can't go to the promised land now because he didn't follow one instruction. But you got to understand, he didn't follow the most important instruction, to trust. What's the Lord's response? Because you did not trust me, you will not bring these people into the promised land. We want to please the Lord. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. How many of us in this room want to please the Lord? Well, this is what it looks like. It looks like leaning on the Lord. Well, Christian, what does that look like? Leaning on the Lord? How do I lean on the Lord? I know. It sounds a little ethereal. Growing up, I never understood it myself, and I heard it all through church growing up. Lean on the Lord. You better lean. Ah! All my life growing up, lean on the Lord. What is that? What is that? This is what it looks like to lean on the Lord. I want you guys to write these points down. Point number one, to lean on the Lord means that you look to God. This is what it looks like to lean on God. You look to God. When you're in problems and situations and you're facing pressure, do you really lean on God? Or do you lean on what you studied in the past? Do you lean on ChatGPT? Do you go to Google or do you go to God? When your child is sick and they have a fever and the fever's not breaking, do you go to Google or do you go to God? By the way, please don't go to Google. They will tell you that your child is near death, and just go to God. Why? Because when we go to God, what does he do? He supplies us with the peace that surpasses all understanding. We go to God. We look to God. But we don't just look to God for answers. We look to God because we love God. We want a relationship with God. This is how David penned it in the Psalms. He said in Psalm 63, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you. In a land that is dry and desolate without water. He's in the desert. There's no water. But his concern was not physical water. His concern was leaning on the Lord. I'm not concerned with the physical. I'm concerned with the spiritual. I look to God in all of my situations. Why? Because my soul thirsts for you. Make some noise if your soul thirsts for God. My soul thirsts for you. You know, this is kind of a point for my seasoned saints. You've been saved since 1977. You've been around for a while. But just because you've been around God for a long time does not mean you don't need alone time with God. Even in these stages of life, I've been a Christian almost all my life. That does not mean I have the answers to the test. You still lean on God. You still trust in God. Moses was like 177 years old. Moses was old, okay? You think you old, Moses was old. Still leaned on God. Not only did Moses look to God, but he actually listened to God. This is what it says in Matthew 4:4. This is Jesus talking, and it says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Listening to God is sitting at his feet and receiving his nourishment. But we can't be so formulaic about it. Some of us get so formulaic about the way that we see God, and then we start to get angry with God. Because we expect that he's going to answer the way we wanted him to answer. Y'all like, okay, I fasted on Monday. I prayed on Tuesday. I read my Bible on Wednesday. Where's my husband? God. We get so formulaic. But God is just saying, hey, every day, just listen to me. Just walk with me. Don't worry about your desires. My desires for you are what's best for you. Just walk with me. That's what he's asking for. And the verse promises that as we acknowledge him, what will he do? He will make our paths straight. And when our paths are straight, the question now is, are we actually being led by God? Point number three, write this down. Be led by God. We look to God, we listen to God, and we're also led by God. It's one thing to hear from the Lord. It's another thing to actually perform what he's asking you to do. This is where Moses failed. God clearly tells him, speak to the rock, and what does Moses do? He strikes the rock twice. Some of us in this room right now are getting a little judgmental. Moses, all you had to do was speak to the rock. Duh. It's clear. God told you to do it, so do it. But how many times in your life does God tell you to do something that you don't do? Hey, go pray for that person. I ain't praying for that person. Hey, spend time with me in the morning. Ah, man, I got to be at work, God. I'm tired. Hey, I need you to fast. God, come on. You really think I'm not going to eat Chick-fil-A today? Are we really being led by God? Some of us right now might have a moment where they're feeling a little bit convicted. You know what areas of your life you're not actually being led by God. You know what the Bible says. You fail to do it. I promise you, this is not a moment to shame you. This is a moment to help shape you. Amen. Conviction is good. Amen. And conviction is actually a sign that the Lord loves you. Because the Lord disciplines those that he loves. He convicts those that he loves. If you're convicted, guess what? He loves you. Amen. But I'm going to give you a bonus point today. Because to lean on the Lord is not only those three things. This one kind of encompasses all of them. We look to the Lord, we listen to the Lord, we're led by the Lord, of course. But the last point, you got to love God. Very simple. Do you love God? Because the Bible says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, you will obey me. Are we being obedient today? Are we truly being obedient to what the Lord has? If you're not, guess what? I have good news for you. The Bible says all of us fall short. But guess what? The Lord paid for all of that. I got good news for you today. Because the Bible is a beautiful story. The Bible is essentially a love letter. And it's about the way that Jesus loves us. And what you need to know about Scripture is that the Old Testament is really the New Testament concealed. While the New Testament is really the Old Testament revealed. I'll say that again. The Old Testament is really the New Testament concealed, while the New Testament is really the Old Testament revealed. So there's something from Moses' story that's truly concealed. We get part of the story, but remember, Moses' life is like a movie. In fact, it's like a Marvel movie. You know those Marvel movies you have to stay to the end of the credits? I encourage you, when it comes to the story of Moses, stay to the end of the credits. Because while his life might on earth have ended without him getting to the promised land, we see something revealed in the New Testament. Remember, the Old Testament is really just the New Testament concealed, while the New Testament is really the Old Testament revealed. There's something in Matthew that reveals something so powerful about Moses' story. And I promise you that if you lock in, you don't have to feel that shame that you might feel. You can know that there's hope for you. This is what it says in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 17, we see something revealed in the story of Moses. Now we're all the way down to the bottom of the credits, and they pop up with another scene. And this is what it says in Matthew 17. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves, where he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses. Somebody say Moses. Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. You see, Moses' story doesn't end in the Old Testament. With Moses' story, you have to stay to the end of the credits. Because there's something revealed in the New Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, he was told to speak to a rock. He fails. But in the New Testament, we find Moses speaking to the rock. But this isn't a rock that you sit on. This isn't a rock that you toss around. This is the rock of my salvation. This is a rock that you build your life on. This is a rock that you build your family around. This is the rock that we build the church on. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it doesn't end there, y'all, because we're in the Easter season. So you guys know that this wasn't just any old rock. You see, this rock also was struck. And when he was on the cross and they pierced his side, the Bible makes a clear emphasis that not only blood flowed out, but water flowed out. The Bible says blood and water flowed out. But you see, what the Lord has to offer is not just any water. This isn't water that you ask for in the desert and then you need tomorrow. This is water that when you drink it, you will never thirst again. This is the living water of Christ.